Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think that I am alone in this feeling heading into this matchup. I have absolutely no clue what the quarterback of the New York Giants is going to do. Maybe you know. Maybe you have a crystal ball and you can answer that question for me. As somebody who watched a large portion of their game this past Sunday, and I watched enough of week one against the Commanders. In week one, Russell Wilson was 17 of 37. That's completing 46% of your passes for 168 yards. He averaged 4.5 yards per attempt. He didn't throw a touchdown, didn't throw an interception, and was bad. And their offense scored 6 points. And you were thinking to yourself, this is the Giants that I thought I was going to see. If you remember, if you go back a couple of weeks, people thought that the Giants were going to sit Russell Wilson heading into week two. They've spent the first round pick on a quarterback. They also got maybe the world's best motivational speaker in Jameis Winston on the team. People thought that they were going to go in a different direction. The Giants game started last week with James Hudson, their left tackle. He had 5 penalties in the first quarter of the game and looked like he was having a meltdown. And again, I'm thinking to myself, same old Giants. I've seen this before. This Giants team is about to implode. Well, little did I know, Russell Wilson, 30 of 41, 450 yards. He completed 73% of his passes. He now averaged 11 yards per attempt. He threw 3 touchdowns. He was absolutely cooking. He got them out of the fire multiple times. Now he pushed them back into the fire with an interception in overtime. But you get the point. We saw the full pendulum of Russell Wilson at this stage in his career. He was terrible in week one. He was tremendous in week two. I don't know what version you're going to get of him on Sunday. You could tell me that Russell Wilson threw for 350 yards against this Chiefs defense, and I wouldn't be that surprised. I think they have the weapons to do it. Malik Nabers is fantastic. Wandale Robinson, I think, is proven as a pretty good number three option. I don't think he's a traditional number two, but he just kind of got to be on that team. They haven't really ran the ball very effectively yet. They went out and got Cam Scataboo. I mean, he's been a short yardage guy, but hasn't really broken through. Tyrone Tracy hasn't been that great so far this season. So, I mean, there's been some problems with the offense, and yet they were able to put up 37 points last week against the Cowboys. So I'm looking at this, and it sounds crazy to say for a team starting quarterback, because obviously that guy needs to play well in order for their team to win. I don't know if anybody could tell you what the quarterback play for the Giants is going to look like. Russell Wilson could throw for 150 yards in this game. He could throw for 350 yards, and I would not be surprised at any outcome that we get from him.
Is he the most, was it Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde player in the NFL? Because I remember after week one, the national media, first things first on right here in the studio, those type of shows were discussing, is it time for Jackson Dart? He played one game, and it was like, all right, it might be over. It might be time to start the rookie. That was an actual conversation national prognosticators were having about the Giants quarterback. 1 week later, I'm now watching the same national television, the same national show, first things first, and the headline reads, can Russell Wilson outduel Mahomes? He's been better in passer rating than Mahomes this year. What happened in 1 week to Russell Wilson? I was like you. I watched that Cowboys game, mostly because I stupidly took the Cowboys -4.5, but that's not important. I remember thinking to myself, that's Seattle Russell Wilson out there. That's the guy that won the Super Bowl. He was throwing dots as far as deep balls. Just the one that took the lead at the end of regulation before the Cowboys got the long field goal, that throw to Malik Nabers was really good and really vintage Russ. So I know it's a bad sports talk take to have, and I should come on here and be like, I know what Russell Wilson's going to look like, and the Chiefs are going to pummel. But I legitimately don't know what version of Russ you're going to see, because if they see the version that played in Washington, the Chiefs should absolutely cruise. If they saw the version that played in Dallas, the Chiefs might have a little bit of a dogfight on their hands, because that was a good quarterback in the NFL I saw last week.
You know what? I want to take a little bit of a detour. We don't get the opportunity to do this nearly enough. Now, this used to be a staple of the show when Russell Wilson was in the division. And now that he's moved around and who knows what team he plays for, it has denied us from some of the great audio that we have on this show. This is the only day that we are going to be able to do it. I have some audio that I think you guys would like to hear. Can we go down a trip down memory lane with Run, Russell, Carrington, Wilson?
Well, I think, first of all, I think that, you know, for me, I've always been about, you know, the extra work. You know, if somebody says, you know, you got to do, you know, X amount, I triple it. You know, that's just how I've always been, you know.
Just put my jersey on for the first time. Broncos orange, let's ride. Green screening it with my boy.
Yes, sir.
Let's go. We in the orange, baby. Let's go. Let's ride, baby. Ooh.
Clean right
hey.
Now,
well, we know what we done. I had my boy Drew, and I got one four with me.
One four with me.
Boy, hey. Four. Hey.
Hey, hey, yes, sir.
Show them what we gonna do.
Yes, sir.
Listening back to those Broncos clips when they were so excited to get Russell Wilson is kind of like the excitement that you have when you and your guys are gonna go out for the night. Oh, man, we going to hit up the town, man. We going to get a couple of drinks. We going to get on these girls. Man, it's going to be fun. Next thing you know, it's the three of y'all just sitting around on your phone. You're not doing anything. It's a dud. This was a waste of a night. You should have just stayed at home with your wife. Man, the Broncos, they were so excited to get Russell Wilson. And we got Russell Wilson here, man. We're about to win this championship. We're going to dethrone the Chiefs. We're going to ride off into the sunset.
Let's ride.
Broncos.
Let's ride.
Perfect. Okay. One more time. Broncos country. Let's ride.
Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country. Let's ride.
This is my question. Now, you guys have seen these, like, pump-up videos. In what way would they need you to say Broncos country, let's ride, the way you said it the last three or four times? I get the Broncos country, let's ride. You're on the Jumbotron when you say this. In what world, Rob, do they need you to say it like this?
Let's ride country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride.
In what way do you think they were going to use that audio? In what setting do you think they were going to use that audio? Russell, you're an interesting human being.
I don't really get jet lagged too often. You know, I don't really, you know, I've traveled enough to get, you know, kind of get my system down. But yeah, for me, I was on the plane first 2 hours. I was, first 2 hours, probably, what was it, 8 hours flight here? That's the first 2 hours I was watching the film, watching all the cut-ups and everything else.
And then for the next 4 hours, I was doing treatment on the plane. I was walking up and down the aisles. Everybody was knocked out. I was doing high knees and working on my legs and everything else, you know, make sure I'm ready to rock. So that was good. And then the last hour of that, I fell asleep for 1 hour, and I watched the film the rest. So,
Russell, if you don't sit down and listen to music on your podcast like everybody else, Russell, if you don't sit down and watch a movie that you downloaded on your phone like everybody else, you in the middle of the aisle doing high knees. I see why it didn't work in Denver. Bro, I'm trying to sleep over here. What do you got going on over there? You doing exercises in the aisle? Come on, big dog. Come sit down next to me, man. Let's play cards the way we used to, man. We got to get back to playing cards in the back of the plane. That's when we lost professional sports. If you're telling me that your team's not gambling in the back of the team flight, that explains why your team doesn't have good chemistry and good team camaraderie. You got to do it the same way that Mike did it back in 95, 96. You're doing workouts. Absolutely not.
Can you imagine being asleep on the plane and you look over and you're like kind of halfway awake on a flight to London and Russell Wilson's in the aisle doing high knees? I would punch him. Punch him square in the face.
I mean, there's only one way to end this segment. You guys thought that I had forgotten? No, there is one clip that brought us here. There is one clip that we can play that if you've been listening to this show, you know is a top five soundbite in drive history. We've got the left hand up. Who are we? The Commanders. We've got the Missouri voicemail. I mean, really? There's some audio clips that go into the Drive Hall of Fame. But this one, this is the first ballot. This is the Tom Brady. This is the Patrick Mahomes, the Michael Jordan. This might be the best clip that we have ever played on this show.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real exciting. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you got to be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who's your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll. They think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited, Tom.
Yes, Mr. Unlimited. I mean, that's who it is. The Chiefs are in trouble if Mr. Unlimited is at MetLife this weekend. They could beat Russell Wilson. No problem. They could beat Russell Wilson. Can the Chiefs right now with their offense, could they outduel Mr. Unlimited? I don't know. I mean, the Chiefs offense has limits. The Giants offense is unlimited. I mean, it's going to be a good one. When you got two 0-2 teams fighting to avoid that 0-3, and one side has Super Bowl MVP, two-time, three-time Super Bowl champion, maybe the greatest quarterback of his era. The other one has Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, I mean, you never know. Coming up on the other side, we're going to head to New York City to be joined by Sean Marash. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll take a trip around week three of the NFL season. We'll get to some of the top storylines as we head into more NFL action. In about 45 minutes, we'll be joined by Nate Taylor of ESPN. He will join us in studio. I believe this is the first time this season he's been in studio. Maybe I'm a little bit off on my recollection of when Nate has been here. It's been kind of a weird start to the Chiefs season. Earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with Sean Marash. He hosts Afternoons in New York City. He's with WFAN. It is the most popular sports talk station in the country. And I started our interview with, man, I knew the Giants would be 0-2 coming into this matchup. I didn't think Kansas City was going to be 0-2.
It's crazy, Carrington. I think the last time I was on with you here locally, we talked about when the schedule came out and the idea of the Giants home opener being Sunday Night Football and your guys, the Chiefs, coming into town. And I thought for sure at worst we'd be talking about a 1-1 Chief team coming in here. The world we live in now, Carrington, there is actual hope from Giant fans in this game that maybe, just maybe, there's a little crack in the Chiefs' armor giving the Giants a possibility for their first win. I can't believe we're sitting here 2-0-2s.
So what's the feeling heading into this game? I watched a large majority of that game against the Dallas Cowboys. That was the game right before the Chiefs, so it just carried into Chiefs and Eagles. Russell Wilson looked like he found a time machine. He also made a mistake late that ended up proving critical. How are you guys feeling about the G-men heading into this one?
Okay, so it's a glass half full, glass half empty approach here, Carrington. Right for starters, I think everybody thought that the identity and the strength of the New York Giants was going to be their defense. They possess three fantastic pass rushers. I mean, obviously, jury going to be out on Abdul Carter, the third overall pick. But through two games, while they were okay against Jaden Daniels in Washington, they were horrendous, allowing 40 points and everything that happened in that fourth quarter. The pass rushers like Brian Burns, the three sacks on the year, he's gotten there. But overall, this Giant defense, Shane Bone, the defensive coordinator, is under a lot of scrutiny. They have just not been what everybody thought they were going to be on paper. They've already suffered, you know, significant injuries along the linebacker front. But that's the glass half empty. The glass half full is they scored 6 points on opening day in Washington, and that's kind of what we thought. Well, if it's not Malik Nabers, who's going to get anything done? And now then you get that offensive explosion in week two where Russell Wilson dials back the clock to deep ball, something that the Giants had not had happen for about 6 years under the Daniel Jones era. So it depends which way you want to squeeze the orange here, Carrington. I think offensively, Giant fans are optimistic. They're thinking what they saw last week, while maybe not, you know, fully replicated, can exist, but this defense has to show some kind of life for any positivity to truly be fully engaged with the Giant fan base.
Sean, what's the sense of optimism right now heading into this game? Because I'm guessing at the very beginning of the season, this was a game that you automatically marked an L next to. No chance you thought you could win this game. But seeing the Chiefs start 0-2, seeing the struggles that they've had on offense, it at least has to give yourself some any given Sunday confidence that the Giants could pull off an upset.
I think you put it perfectly there, Carrington. And this is why it's always silly and stupid to look at an NFL schedule in April and just assume you know the record based on opponent, based on the time you're playing in an opponent, injuries. I mean, look how many quarterbacks aren't starting in the NFL this week. The belief was the Giants had to split one of those first two games with a Washington team that might have had a little bit of luck on their side last year and a Dallas team, especially after trading Micah Parsons, where you thought the defense wouldn't be the same. And lo and behold, the defense is not the same. And you looked at this game going, get out of that 1-1 because you're definitely definitely losing to the Chiefs in week three. Well, now we're here. And I don't think that there is a total push where people assume by any means the Giants are winning this game. Hell, I certainly don't. And there's plenty of reasons why they shouldn't. But at the same time, you do now view the Chiefs, at least now in the early season. I'd rather be playing the Chiefs right now in week three than playing them in week 10, week 11, if they figure things out. It does feel like Kansas City's off. Obviously, not having Rashee Rice, we paid attention to that, hasn't been great. So there is more optimism than we thought in April when the schedule came out. But again, then there's that sign of with optimism comes desperation. You're getting a desperate Chief team at 0-2. You're getting a Chief team with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And you guys know this, the DNA is, even if you're not blowing teams out, which you rarely do, you find ways to win tight games. And the Giants' DNA has been, well, even if you play these tight games, you find ways to lose them. So there's more hope, but I think overall there's still that sense of, oh, damn, now the Chiefs are even more desperate than we thought in April, and maybe we can't catch them sleeping.
Right now we're talking to Sean Marash, taking a closer look at the New York Giants. Do you have an explanation for the defense? Because you and I had a very similar thought, and you mentioned it earlier. In week one, now, you guys didn't win the game against Washington, but you certainly showed some positive signs. Not really many positive signs for the defense when they give up 40 points. It feels to me like the chance for Giants to pull off this upset, it has to be based in their front four. It has to be based off them kind of muddying this game up and getting pressure. Do you feel confident that the Giants can do that? Personnel-wise, it would appear that they can, but we haven't seen that executed out on the field.
Yeah, now, it's so weird, right? Because the defense has at least shown signs with the pass rush, but it's not showing up on the back end. Here's the deal. Where it all starts and ends for the Giants and why they find themselves in the spot defensively is, for as good as the pass rush could be, this team cannot stop the run. They are dead last in stopping the run. Ironically enough, the Chiefs have had a tough time running the football. They lost starting linebacker Micah McFadden on opening day to a brutal foot surgery, and that's kind of been an unheralded, sneaky problem. But the Giants' secondary is super young outside of a guy like Javon Holland. They signed Paulson Adebo, who's been up and down and erratic over from the New Orleans Saints, and have just young bodies, Tyler Newbin, Drew Phillips, who had the pick last week, and then basically a rotating cast of failed first-round pick Deontay Banks and a former third-round pick in Cordell Flott rotating the other outside corner spot. They're very vulnerable to a deep pass if the pass rush doesn't get home, and the run-stopping defense just hasn't been there. And to be frank, the best player on this defense has been Dexter Lawrence. He has just not been a difference maker through two games, and it has showed up on tape enormously. So honestly, if I'm looking at this from a Kansas City point of view, this is a get right spot, I think, for that run game if the Chiefs offense wants to do that. And I think that's the path to victory on exposing this Giant defense. If the Chiefs abandon the run and don't take advantage of that, I do think then the Chiefs become ripe for the picking and the Giant pass rush can have its best game of the year so far.
Are you worried about this season getting away from the Giants? Because looking ahead to their schedule, Kansas City, the Chargers, Philadelphia, sure. Denver on the road against Philadelphia, San Francisco, like we could be looking up and the Giants are a scrappy team, but they also can be 2-6 and probably firing their head coach soon.
Yeah, well, and that's the juxtaposition, man. Am I worried about the defense getting the schedule getting away from them? Of course, I was worried in April about that. I was worried about May and that in July, and this is worst case scenario with them at 0-2 not finding a way to get a win there and having this Chief Charger piggyback before the Saints game, which you just pray is a win in week 5. Certainly worried about it. The difference, though, and I know the outside noise will be there for Brian Daboll, and we may get there at the end of the year or may not, is, again, the best part about this season for the Giants is if the season gets away from them, you get the newfound hope of watching a rookie quarterback that you drafted in the first round play. So while we are worried about it, I wouldn't shock me, Karen, if there's a smidge of Giant fans secretly hoping, you know what, the faster we lose these games, the faster they abandon this Russell Wilson thing, and we get to see the real stake on our plate, which is Jackson Dart in the first round, who had a great preseason.
Sean, last couple questions here, and I'll get you out of here, man. Really appreciate your time. First question is, give me an X factor on the offense, a guy that, outside of Malik Nabers, is it a Wandale Robinson? Is it a Cam Scataboo? A Tyrone Tracy?
Well,
give me an X factor on the offensive side for the Giants. And if the Giants are able to pull off this upset, give us the pathway. Give us the game script in which the Giants do
it. Perfect two follow-ups here. So the Giants have struggled to run the ball despite the fact that Cam Scataboo broke off a big run and then powered into the end zone. I'm oddly worried about Tyrone Tracy, who had a really brilliant rookie year, and he hasn't looked the same, but the run blocking hasn't been there. The X factor, though, you nailed it, was the first name you said, Wandale Robinson, because for the first early part of his career, he was a guy who would run short of the sticks on third downs, catch a million balls with no yardage. And Russell Wilson has compared him now to Tyler Lockett. And I think that we have seen something unlocked, for lack of a better term, with Wandale Robinson getting down the field in these quick strikes that Wilson is hitting him with. I mean, his yardage has exploded. He catches a big touchdown last week. This is just not the same player with Russell Wilson, and this is in a better way than we saw early on, and he's totally given another element besides just relying on Malik Nabers solely. So that is somebody absolutely Kansas City to account for. I can't give you a running back yet until this team proves they can run the football and the run blocking hasn't been there. As far as a pathway goes, I think the Giants got to punch Kansas City in the mouth early in this game. And this is something I don't think will happen, but the Giants need to have anywhere between an 8 to 10 point lead at any point in that third quarter or fourth quarter for you to even fathom the Giants holding on and winning this game. Because you guys might be beaten down by the Chief offense a little bit. This Giant team has just invented ways to lose in the fourth quarter when they do give the fans hope. And I don't trust, and you can call me a conspiracy theorist, the Chiefs at 0-2, I don't trust the referee flags. I don't trust a roughing the passer not being called on a Patrick Mahomes as this Chief team tries to find a way to victory. If they are down a touchdown or less in that fourth quarter, I think the Giants are doomed and they will find a way to lose that game. So the pathway to victory is, hey, hit on those big plays, stun Kansas City early, and just pray you can hang on for dear life and you have a big enough lead where your pass rush can just tee off on Mahomes late in that fourth quarter, but know that it's going to take two scores to come back and tie or win that game. That, to me, is the only way the Giants find a way to win this game.
That is Sean Marash joining us on the show. He's with WFAN in New York City, getting you ready for Sunday Night Football between the Chiefs and the Giants, two 0-2 teams. I did not think we would be here. Sean, great stuff as always, man. Look forward to catching up with you down the road.
Later, Carrington. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Coming up in a little bit, we are going to take a trip around the NFL and get to some of the key storylines as we get you ready for week 3 of the NFL season. Now, I know that I have been the lead proponent for run the football. I get that. And maybe you're tired of hearing me talk about it. Move on. Talk about something else. Well, it matters. The Chiefs running backs last week had 19 carries and got 55 yards. Now, I know some of you want them to run the football more. In a lot of ways, I want them to run the football more. But it's kind of hard to say that you should trust the running backs more when you give them that level of volume and you get so little in return. The juice ain't worth the squeeze. Well, I want to give you some numbers about the New York Giants. And now I'm putting Isaiah Pacheco on notice. Now, we need to come up with something that is the offensive equivalent of barbecue chicken. Because we've got the barbecue chicken sounder for a defensive player, but we don't have a sounder like that for the offense. These are the numbers so far for the New York Giants against the run. They're the third worst team so far through the first two games. They have allowed 355 yards. Washington ran for 220. Dallas ran for 135. The Giants' defense is giving up 5.9 yards per rush attempt. 5.9. If the Chiefs cannot run the football successfully against this team, I'm pressing code red. Not about the team. I'm pressing it about the offense. I'm pressing it about the running game. There is no reason why you shouldn't be able to run the football against this team. That's what I'm saying. I'm pressing the button when you were talking about them doing that against this team. Now, I know they've spent a lot of resources, a lot of big time money on that defensive line, and they got Dexter Lawrence, they got Abdul Carter. I mean, they certainly have a lot of names and guys that you've heard of. I mean, I just saw last week Javonte Williams, 18 carries, 97 yards, and a touchdown against them. If you want to go back to week one, ran all over the Giants defense. There's no reason, none. You cannot create a reason to me why Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, Elijah Mitchell, Breshad Smith, You cannot create a scenario to me in which those guys cannot be effective, why the Chiefs can't be balanced, why the Chiefs cannot be effective running the football against a team right now that has given up 180 yards a game and almost 6 yards per attempt. You cannot sell me why they won't be able to run the football on Sunday night against the Giants. Everybody else has been able to do it.
I mean, the fact the Commanders had 220. Now, some of that's because, you know, Jaden Daniels is a great running quarterback, although he has less rushing yards this year than Patrick Mahomes. But it's just, if we are having the same conversations about Isaiah Pacheco and Elijah Mitchell and Kareem Hunt on Monday, it might be one of those things you just throw your hands up and it ain't getting better. Like, at a certain point, if you can't run against this team, you can't run against anyone, because this team is him. They're giving a 5.9 yards per attempt to opponents. Basically, when the opponent hands the ball off, they get 6 yards right off the jump against the Giants. Back, maybe not six, but the Chiefs can't have another 2.8. It can't.
And it's just also just, it's the who have done it. So for Washington, it was Jacory Croskett Merritt.
Bill,
I'm going to be real with you guys. I don't know who that is. I'm serious. I don't know who that is. Rob, what school did he go to? You and I watch a lot of college football. What school did Jacory Croskett Merritt go to? Do you know?
I just know that his nickname is Bill. That's all I know about Jacory.
He went to Arizona. He was a fifth-round pick in this year's NFL draft. He was picked 245. Right out of the gate, he ran for 82 yards against them. Shocking. Against a real team in Green Bay, he got 17 yards rushing. So shocking. When they played a real defense for the Cowboys, Javonte Williams, 18 carries, 97 yards. I could see if they had gone up against Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, one of those types. No, they've been letting dudes who ain't even on people's fantasy teams get going against them. There ain't no reason why the Chiefs shouldn't be able to run the football effectively. None. And if we're having this conversation on Monday, where the Chiefs ran it 14 times for 37 yards against this Giants team. Okay, we got to continue to have these conversations about the run game and what's going on.
Let me ask you this. Is this the first time this season that we can go into a game feeling pretty confident Patrick Mahomes will not be the leading rusher? Because if we are on Monday talking about, hey, Mahomes rushed for, you know, 84 yards, that's also a problem. I know those 84 yards count, but this has to be Pacheco. This has to be Hunt, Breshard Smith. Like, maybe they make Elijah Mitchell active. That'd be a fun change of pace. Maybe he can run. Not only the run game, just period. We can't be talking about Mahomes being a running quarterback on Monday. He needs to be a 41-year-old Peyton Manning. The only running he's doing is handing the ball off. It cannot be Mahomes on Monday. It can't be.
I'm with you. I mean, you and I agree. You and I are on the same page.
And I hate running backs, and I agree with you.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page. They should run the football effectively against the New York Giants. There's no reason for them not to run the football successfully against the New York Giants. It will not make sense to me if they cannot run the football against the New York Giants. It will make absolutely no sense at all. If you guys missed it, we played this earlier in the week. Here's Dan Orlowski. Here he is talking about what his concern is for the Chiefs offense.
What would give me confidence? Patrick, that's it. That's the only thing right now that they're doing well. I would argue that Travis has actually played pretty well. I know everyone's like, oh my gosh, they're dropping the end zone, blah, blah, blah. I think Travis has done good things. Mm-hmm. Other than that, the offensive line is poor. So, like, is that just going to get fixed? No. Even Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey, who have been very good players, they're not playing up to their standard level. The receivers aren't getting open. I know the receivers that are going to get healthy or back from suspension are going to be different, but when does that actually happen? And that necessarily wasn't a dominant thing when it was going on. The tight ends can't block in the run game. The backs are struggling with their vision. They're winning. They're losing at the point of attack. Patrick leads the team in rushing. Patrick leads the NFL in quarterbacks running. Patrick had 88% of their offense against the Chargers and 81% of their offense against the Eagles. So it's like he's the only one doing something. So at some point, there's going to have to be something that happens in this offense or someone that makes me go, all right, I see it. I can see that evolution being a trademark pillar of their offense through 2 weeks.
If you go back to last week's game against the Cowboys, now it's understandable. The Cowboys scored 40 points in that game. If you've heard of them on the Cowboys, the Giants didn't stop them. Javonte Williams ran for 97 yards. CeeDee Lamb had 9 catches for 112 yards. Jake Ferguson had 78 yards. George Pickens had 70 yards receiving and scored a touchdown. If you've heard of them on the Cowboys, they got active last week. They were really good this week. This should be, could be, a get-right game for Kansas City's offense to get going here, play with some momentum, get some guys back healthy. I know Xavier Worthy is questionable. I think he's going to play. We'll find out what Nate thinks here coming up in 20 minutes when he joins us in studio. We'll find out about Jalen Royals if he thinks those guys are going to play. We just saw this team get exploited on defense last week. They didn't run the football very effectively last week. Last week, it was Russell Wilson having a game for the ages. Neighbors was good. Wandale Robinson was good. Darius Slayton was good. And they didn't really do a whole lot else if you are the New York Giants. Control the line of scrimmage with your front four. Force a turnover. Create pressure. The Chiefs should win this game against the New York Giants. Coming up in about 20 minutes, Nate Taylor is going to join us in studio. Coming up on the other side, we'll get you ready for week 3. We'll go through some of the storylines on Sunday in the NFL. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, Nate Taylor of ESPN is going to join us on the show. Before that, why don't we take a closer look at some of the most important storylines in the National Football League as we head into week 3. Rob, hit me!
Carrington, let's start our Sunday stories in the AFC West. I am not talking about the Chiefs. I'm talking about the massive divisional tilt between the Denver Broncos and the undefeated Los Angeles Chargers. Carrington, there was a time you were Charger Dot. That time is come and gone. But do you think the Chargers with the win have put a stranglehold on the AFC West just 3 weeks into the season?
Who said that that has come to an end? If there was ever a time to hop back on the Chargers bandwagon, I mean, you guys have called me Chargers Dot for years now. Why don't I just lean completely into it? They got a home game against the Broncos. They've looked better than the Broncos so far this season. I cannot believe the Broncos lost that game to the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, that game was right there. It's been a while since I've seen a team have a win and then just say, nope, we're good. Why don't we take that win and why don't we turn it into a loss? Such a disappointment. I think they're a team to be reckoned with in the AFC. Just look at this schedule. I think it opens yourself up to it. Home game against the Broncos, on the road against the Giants, home game against Washington, on the road against Miami. Now, knock on wood, maybe the Chargers charger this thing, but I'm telling you, if you are disregarding the Chargers, I think you're being dishonest with yourself. I think the Chargers have clearly proven that they are at least the fourth best team in the AFC, and we'll see at the end of the season if they can enter that conversation of the big three that has dominated the conference for the last 18 months.
Speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, or at least the Kansas City Chiefs opponent, their opponent last week, the Philadelphia Eagles, are 2-0. They are taking on the 2-0 Los Angeles Rams, but that is not the conversation on what is the possibly best game of the weekend.
No, because that shouldn't be the conversation, because who came in here and told you the Rams are going to be good this year? I told you that, and you know what happened? You scoffed at me like you usually do. That's what you love to do, scoff.
They've beaten the Texans, and they beat the Titans.
Jared Scoff, that's what I'm going to start calling you.
Texans and Titans, are those even NFL wins? It's like beating Wagner and Robert Morris. It doesn't count.
That's crazy.
But that is not the biggest story of that 2-0 game, Carrington. Reports are the officials will more closely monitor how the tush push is handled. Could this week be the end of the tush push as we know it, because the officials are going to be way more locked in on this play with Eagles and Rams?
I mean, the NFL, they always do this. If there's one thing the NFL loves to do, it's talk tough during the week and then do none of it once the week happens. Remember when sportsmanship was going to be a big deal? Then I saw a player punch Travis Kelce, and then we don't care about sportsmanship anymore. So yes, it sounds really good. Oh, we got to tighten up on this play. You haven't been able to stop them from running this play or running it successfully for the last three seasons. Why do I now think that now you're going to have some eagle eye when it comes to this play? Cut the noise. This is like when somebody has a resolution and they do it for the first 3 weeks of January, and then when February gets back here, they're back to their old eating habits. It's like when you tell yourself that you're going to read 12 books this year. You read one book and you never go back to the library. Stop it. I don't believe that the NFL is committed to doing this. They are going to let the owners deal with the tush push, not the referees.
Speaking of 2-0 games, a surprise 2-0 tilt on Sunday. The 2-0 Niners, who might have Brock Purdy back.
A surprise.
Take on the 2-0 Cardinals.
Oh, that's a surprise.
That's a surprise. Now, I will say, scheduled game with them also. They've played the Saints and the Panthers. That's definitely FCS
opponents.
Two
big-time wins.
Do you believe the Cardinals...
Who called them FCS opponents?
Do you believe the Cardinals will keep cruising along, or have the rising competition going to bump them down as they take on the Niners?
I will say this. It ain't good when Notre Dame has played a tougher schedule than you've played so far in the beginning of the season. Nebraska's had a tougher schedule than you guys. That ain't good. The football gods cannot let Kyler Murray have a good weekend. No, they cannot let him have a good weekend. I saw the line. It's Niners minus 2.5 at the crib. I know they got Mac Jones, but you don't have to change your offense a whole lot with Mac Jones than you did with Brock Purdy. I think we're reading reports that Purdy could potentially play in this game. He was practicing. So who knows what the plan ends up being. Yes, give me the Niners. Give me the minus 2.5. I love it.
It is. I mean, Notre Dame's schedule is light years better than the Cardinals' schedule. Saints and Panthers.
No, for sure.
Remember when you had the Panthers as a playoff team? Boy, that was funny. Moving on.
Why do you guys got to bring up old stuff? That's what I don't like. Why?
It's
do you
week
have to
two.
Bring...
It's not old yet. It's still fresh. It's
no,
still
it's
in people's
old.
Mind.
I was wrong. I was wrong.
Speaking of Heisman quarterbacks, going from Bryce Young to Jaden Daniels, he is out this week. He will not play as the Commanders are taking on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Did I not tell you about the Commanders? I might have been early on the Commanders. I tried to tell you boys about the Commanders, and nobody wanted to listen to me.
Marcus Mariota. Wow, speaking of Heisman winners, just bing, bing, bing.
No, he's still in the league.
He will be starting on Sunday
for
the Commanders.
Marcus Mariota still playing football?
He is the starter this week in the NFL game.
Oh, my goodness.
He is starting against his old coach, offensive coordinator Chip Kelly for the Raiders.
You know how bad quarterback play's got to be in the league? When we saw Marcus Mariota quit on a Netflix show, and he's still been in the league since then. He quit on the Falcons. That guy's still in the league 4 years later? They really can't find good quarterbacks in the NFL.
What happens if he wins on Sunday against the Raiders? That say more about the Raiders or about the Commanders?
No, it doesn't say anything about the Washington Commanders. I mean, you know, they got a good roster. Where is this game at again?
I believe this game is in Washington.
Short week, going across the country for the Raiders.
But Marcus Mariota
is a good
one. Who Chiefs fans know is also an elite wide receiver.
To see? I don't know why you had to do that. Why you had to pick at him like that. I'm going to pick the Raiders to win. You know, I was high on the Raiders at the very beginning of the season. I think Geno cleans up some of the mistakes that he made on Monday Night Football. I think the Raiders go on the road and steal another one.
Our final story to monitor on Sunday, Carrington, outside of Kansas City and New York. I'm just going to check all the Heisman boxes in this segment, because Caleb Williams, the 0-2 Bears, are headed to the game of the week to take on the Dallas Cowboys. They are a 1.5-point dog headed to Dallas. Carrington, everyone was excited. We got Ben Johnson pairing up with Caleb Williams. It has not been exciting for the first 2 weeks.
The Bears just might be cursed as an organization.
Are they going to get right against the Cowboys? Or are they going to fall to 0-3 and it's more of the same from Chi-Town?
What right now about the way that the Bears are playing would make you think that they're on the verge of getting right?
They're facing Matt Eberflus.
I think the Cowboys are proving they're maybe better than people thought they would be. I told you this at the beginning of the season. A healthy Dak Prescott, the Cowboys are pretty competitive. Now, they probably won't win that division. They're not winning a Super Bowl, but a healthy Dak Prescott with those weapons and their run game is a little bit better than people thought. The Cowboys have been a very competitive team. They play the Eagles very close. I think that game was actually really, really back and forth before the weather delay in week one. And we just saw them in a slugfest against the Giants last week. Yeah, I'm taking the Cowboys in this one. The Cowboys are a better team, better organization. They have more talent than the Bears. Give me the Cowboys.
I mean, I don't think anyone in good faith can pick the Bears this week. It might be Ben Johnson divorces Caleb Williams by the end of year one.
The only person that's taking the Bears is Danny Parkins. Nobody else is taking the Bears this week. Not a single living soul is taking the Bears this week. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Nate Taylor of ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on Xavier Worthy. We'll get his thoughts on Jalen Royals. We'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs starting 0-2. That's coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns. You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.